Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about the news and links we talk about on the show, go to our website at geekson.com.
Okay, hey! Now we're
at Hello, take two. Welcome back.
Welcome and back to Geeks On. Welcome, my geeklings.
You cannot slap a hippo twice.
You can. Just, it's not recommended.
Are the little lines going up and down on our monitor?
Yes.
Yes!
Okay.
That it's means recording. We're on the air.
We have product.
Well, welcome, geeks.
Welcome back, kids.
Excellent. How was your geek week, Aaron?
My geek week was, well, it started out great, and then last night it went really bad.
Oh, no.
What happened?
Well, I got the, I'll talk about this a little bit later, but I got the Xbox magazine, official Xbox magazine that comes with a demo disc.
Yeah, bud.
And it has Far Cry and Far Cry demo on it you can play. And I have to say, this is going to be a kick-ass game.
Okay. Nice.
It's freaking awesome. It controls just like Halo. I mean, that smooth.
Far Cry?
The graphics are unbelievable.
Okay.
For an Xbox, this is awesome looking.
They're starting to tap out the limits of the Xbox with Advent Rising, with these other ones.
They're I don't know if they're tapping it out. It's getting better and better. I think they've still got, you know, it looks freaking amazing. And not only is it like a fast, cool shooter where you can, you know, blow up everything, it also has some cool trap making aspects where if you go up to a tree, you can take a branch, bend it back, wait for somebody, take a rock, throw it near it, and the guards will, huh? And they'll go over there, and you see them, like, get trapped with the spikes and all that.
It's, nice.
It's pretty freaking cool.
Slick.
Anyway, you got to check it out. And then they had a demo of the, it's only a film, but of the new Brothers in Arms.
Oh, yeah, that's supposed to be incredible.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The first game is freaking awesome, and I hadn't finished it. So last night, after watching the...
Do you ever finish games?
Yeah, I just finished Splinter Cell.
Okay.
Splinter Cell.
How long?
Awesome.
How long was that?
It took a while because I got interrupted with WoW and a couple of
games. I just need to point out that you enjoyed Final Fantasy X and still have not finished it.
No, I didn't. I only played a couple hours of Final Fantasy X.
I thought you enjoyed it and got halfway through.
No.
How many games would you say you have finished in your life?
I don't finish a whole bunch, but the really good ones I'll finish through. But I was going to put in Brothers in Arms to finish it because I got really excited when they saw the sequel. And the Xbox turned on. The little ring, the green ring, turned burnt red. And a big screen of death comes up and says,
no.
Your Xbox isn't working anymore. Call customer support.
What were you doing to that poor Xbox?
I tried turning it on and off, different discs.
You got
no
that message
discs.
Once before, I remember.
Yeah, last month, just once, and it never happened again. And now I can't get it to work.
I smell a conspiracy. The new Xbox 360 is coming out, and suddenly the Xbox dies.
They could have given me another month.
Yeah,
but you know.
No, now you got to go, damn, do I wait for the 360?
Well, I'm not going to buy a new one this close, so I have to wait it out. Luckily...
That sucks.
Luckily, Shadow of the Colossus is coming out for the PlayStation, so that will at least...
So you have a PlayStation fallback.
There you go. That's good.
But, yeah, you know.
Don, how was your geek week? What'd you do?
I've been working nonstop, so the only thing I've had time to do is I started a new pilot. Very excited about.
Cool.
Very enthoosed.
But a new what?
New pilot?
New spec pilot.
Okay.
New spec
pilot. Oh, you're writing. A new writing.
Right. Okay. The thing I accuse him of not doing.
Yeah, exactly.
But
there
the
was
only
an
thing
after
I,
that
the,
show.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm still blue.
The only other thing I've had time to do this week is kind of try and catch up on my TV episode. So I've been watching like one episode of something or other each week.
Cool.
Each day. And so I just finished... what's it called? 6 Feet Under.
Cool.
Season 3, which just killed me.
Which also has an incredible soundtrack.
Oh my God, does it. And the cast is amazing.
So you're going through the DVDs.
The DVDs.
Okay.
And then I started watching Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I just got through the first disc. I brought it in for one of you guys to take.
Sure.
And I am digging it. I am really digging it.
I'm so surprised that you like Joss Whedon. I think I'm going to keel over
this
and
This is
die.
Not written like Joss Whedon.
Oh, come on.
No,
come
it's so on. Not. Oh, come on. It's so not.
Banter.
No, actually, I'd say the banter is the weakest part of the series so far. The dialogue is not amazing.
I would say the banter is the strongest part of the series.
Ooh.
Really? I don't think it's that strong. I don't actually think the dialogue's that strong.
All right, we're going to have a Firefly episode coming up. We'll discuss that more, but continue on.
Well, and that's it. I mean, I'm recommending Firefly right now. I'm halfway through the series. It seems pretty good.
I liked it. It's good.
I had a... This is Matt.
Oh.
What?
Also. All right, so Dark Spear is our Alliance server on World of Warcraft.
Right.
Yeah.
I have, in my spare time at... during my bouts of insomnia, I've leveled up a character and gotten some money on there, so I'm going to be starting up the Geeks on Guild soon.
Oh, so we have gold enough
I have enough money to start a guild, but I'm going to need enough people to sign the charter so we can start the guild.
Dark Spear.
What? How many people do we need?
I think we need 10 people to sign
up. Can we use our different characters, or does it have to be 10 different people?
No, 10 different people.
It has to be 10 different people. Huh. But the name of the character is Thicket. Thicket.
Like, what's he doing in that thicket?
I'm surprised that name hasn't been taken. It seems...
I made a dark elf character, right? Or night elf, whatever the hell they're called. And I couldn't find any other plant name that wasn't already taken. Like, I was scraping the bottom of the barrel. I was, like, looking for lichen. No, that's taken. Moss. No, that's taken.
What is what type of character is it?
Warrior.
A warrior?
Night elf warrior named Thicket.
Thicket. And she's cute.
Briar was taken.
Damn, Briar.
Briar Rose was taken.
So we should have an official Geeks On
guild.
Guilds very soon.
Should we be called Geeks On?
I was thinking we'd call ourselves Geeks On.
Okay.
That's a great name for a guild.
Well, as opposed to geekson.com and blatantly self-promote, you know?
Wait a second.
We could do it.
No.
Excellent.
It's the geekson.com. Guild.
I was the traveling geek this week. I went to Minneapolis and met a new geek. His name is Tim Dewey. He's awesome. He gave me some links for this week. And then it ended up going to Arizona.
Do I know Tim Dewey?
No, you do not know Tim Dewey. No, well, you might. He's my girlfriend's sister's husband, but I doubt it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I went to Arizona.
What does that make him to me?
Absolutely nothing.
Right. then I went to Arizona. And ran into my estranged uncle. He invited me to his birthday party. After 22 years, I haven't seen this guy.
We all have strange uncles.
No, estranged.
Oh, I see.
There we go. and turns
acquitted.
Out this guy used to edit for, I believe it's Tor Books, and his wife was one of the lead editors for Bantam. So between them, they know every major fantasy and sci-fi author who I have loved for eons. They're like first name basis. Hey, glad you helped me. Thanks so much. So I'm going to use the back door eventually and really try and get them to see if they can set up an interview for us.
Good idea.
Excellent.
We're such whores.
Let's exploit your strange uncle.
Oh, absolutely. See if we can get Robert Jordan.
So this is Peter.
I just want to beat up Robert Jordan, actually.
Okay. Well, we could do that on the show.
Freaking end the series already, man. It's not right.
So since our last podcast, we actually, Aaron and I actually went up to Yosemite for long weekend.
All right. Well, we better get to some geek news since we're already 20 minutes into the show and haven't done any.
Well, that's a great idea, Aaron, who has not yet introduced himself on the show.
Yeah. Oh, my name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a filmmaker and graphic designer in Hollywood here.
And that's what Aaron sounds like.
Yes.
Just letting you know, because we've got a lot of letters about what the different geeks, how to discern a geek.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't matter. I mean, they can figure it out.
Doesn't matter.
Filter a geek.
Don?
I'm Don. This is the voice of Don. Don is a writer and a video game professional in Hollywood. That's right. 976 Don.
I like the way you spoke about yourself in the third person. This is Matt. I am an actor here in Los Angeles.
This is Peter.
And what are you?
I'm an actor. Oh, and
say
a geek.
Tagline, you bastard.
I'm a geek, sorry.
I was cut off.
That's what we do to you, Peter. Okay. We cut you off.
Yes.
That's your shtick on the show.
I'm the one that's here to be cut off. No. I am Peter, and I am a writer here in Los Angeles. And Matt and I are the two that sound really similar, although this week I'm getting over a cold, so we might actually sound a little different.
We're going to keep Peter on a cold, specifically.
I was going to say, you've got that kind of husky...
Yeah,
Jessica Rabbit voice.
He
kind of
looks like
on.
Kathleen Turner too, you know,
like a hairy one,
right?
Yeah.
All right, who wants to do news first?
I think Don does. No, Peter does?
I don't care.
Matt always brings three. Let's make him start.
Okay, Matt, let's go.
All right, here we go. This is all about the flying spaghetti monster. Now, those of you who know this, this is already funny. Those of you who don't, here's why it is. Kansas school board having a fight over teaching intelligent design in classrooms.
Here we go with more damn
forms. Right, I brought this one specifically for Don. All right, they're teaching intelligent design.
I am declaring this a no Christian zone week. I'm not saying anything negative or positive about Christians.
Well, I had to bring it.
I'm being pure as the driven snow.
Sure you are. All right, now, so they're arguing over teaching intelligent design in classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, it comes to a head when a minister says, I will pay $1 million to anyone who can prove that God does not exist and God did not create the universe. To which some guy responds, well, that's bull. I'll give $1 million to anybody who can prove that the flying spaghetti monster did not create the universe and did not create everything. Somebody latched onto this.
Oh,
and it's now become a cult.
Oh, no.
Of the flying spaghetti monsterists.
Oh, no.
They like to be referred to as Pastafarians.
Oh, my God.
They have now sent a letter to the Kansas school board in the same type of jargon as the intelligent design people, and they're trying to agree with them. They said something like, I'm sure you now realize how important it is that your students are taught this alternate theory. It is absolutely imperative that they realize that the observable evidence is at the discretion of a flying spaghetti monster. Furthermore, it is disrespectful to teach our beliefs without wearing his chosen outfit, which, of course, is full pirate regalia. I cannot stress the importance of this, and unfortunately cannot describe in detail why this must be done, as I fear this letter is already becoming too long. The concise explanation is that he becomes angry if we don't.
Oh, my God, we're all going to hell just for listening to that.
They did a drawing of the flying spaghetti monster on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, and he's touching Adam with his wet noodle, and you gotta believe it.
Just, though funny, there is a huge, huge, huge flaw in this guy's little prank.
Why? They have a book.
No, the flaw is that they're arguing the exact same thing. The intelligent design people don't, if they're smart, don't necessarily say that God, the intelligence, is any particular one thing.
No.
So he's saying the exact same thing.
No, that's his point.
So
he's saying the intelligent design could be a flying spaghetti monster for
right.
all we know.
So,
but the intelligent design people are saying you have to teach the Bible in classrooms because the intelligent design is God from the Bible.
Well,
and
that's certain people. But a lot of the intelligent design people are just saying you need to bring up the fact that most people on the planet believe there is an intelligent design, whether
right.
you're American Indian or
unfortunately,
a
they don't, and they basically say it's got to be Christian or a book religion. They don't. I mean, the intelligent design people don't pitch, hey, well, let's teach the Quran. You know,
there are several camps at work.
Well,
right.
Aaron,
you know,
this isn't people saying that we need to teach the intelligent design from Norse mythology or anything like that. They're saying clearly Christian.
Well, hold on.
No,
there are people who are doing what Aaron is saying. However, those people who advocate teaching intelligent design
in schools,
according to all religious faith-based things,
pantheists,
tend not to say that it should be replacing evolution. It's their tendency to say, like, no, this should be acknowledged in school, but it should not replace the science.
Right.
Strangely enough, Peter and I had this conversation while we're driving to go camping. We had this big debate.
Yes. See, but the cookies, were the cookies in the car at that point?
Yeah, they were just wafting.
See,
they were
just wafting.
But we had this argument because a lot of the people in the car go to church and believe in some type of intelligence out there. Mm-hmm. And maybe some people in this room. If you believe that science is the quest for the truth, then to say that, not to bring up the fact that there is an intelligent design out there mm-hmm. in a science class would be faulty.
No, absolutely, and I agree
so
with you.
So why not bring it up in science class?
I agree with you, but I believe that there is a division, you know, and that what they're saying is we're going to use a religion. We're going to use this book to basically support...
Well, that is obviously wrong, but a smart, intelligent design advocate...
Science is based on empirical knowledge, as opposed to, you know, them saying, this is what somebody said 2,000 years ago, And we're pretty sure that it's true, but we can't prove it by experimentation
you can't prove it with the scientific method right now.
No.
Well, then I submit to you that the scientific method is faulty if there is absolutely zero way to get to the truth. Why use a scientific method if you can't get to the truth?
Except
which
the
is
scientific like, well, method basically pushes the envelope farther and farther and farther. And the more it pushes the envelope, the more creationists and intelligent designists basically say, well, okay, but God is over here. Oh, well, oh, that's explainable now. Okay, well, God is over here. And they just keep on pushing the line
back. Do you believe
that
there's a God out there or an intelligent being?
I am much more of an intelligent
design
people.
Then you would agree that maybe in a science class you might bring up that most of the world believes that there was an intelligent creator?
Right, but to teach that as an alternate theory, to basically say Darwinism is false and intelligence design is the truth.
Well, first of all, Darwinism is a theory. It is not anything but a theory.
But it's based on experimentation that you can prove.
No, there's no experimentation. There's indicators.
Right.
Okay, so that's right now our best theory. So we teach that in schools.
Right.
But no one claims that it's the evolution
is a fact.
You can
set up even the game Life on a computer. You can set that up and say, hey, we have this little thing. Let's see how this life evolves.
Yes, but I can also do a sim game and be a god and create life.
You have to be able to distinguish between – you can't just distinguish between belief and fact and say that that's the only two points on the spectrum.
Right.
Okay, so you have things that are belief. Someone can believe in the flying spaghetti monster, which is pretty ludicrous, right?
I'm a pastafarian. Right.
Okay, pastafarian.
Every time you say that, I feel my fan.
And you have fact, which is something which can be proven.
Right.
And then you have things which are on different ends of those extremes.
Right.
Okay, well, the theory of evolution is pretty close to fact, okay?
Well, it's a theory that fits most of the things we found.
Right.
Most of the
it's
facts,
not,
yes.
It's not.
It's also one of the few theories we have that has been observed. People have watched evolution in action.
Right.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Whereas intelligent design is not anywhere over there.
I would say if you read a lot, there's a lot of books where people can point to indicators that.
Yeah,
you know,
there is the unexplainable.
I would just like to point out to our listeners that, hi, this is Don. I'm the one that's been pegged as anti-Christian in the past, and I'm the one maintaining a studious silence here.
Maybe we should bring this up as a topic
I would love, tell me any one thing that points towards intelligent design.
Okay, how about this?
This is
a thought process, okay? Let's say you're an astronaut walking on a distant planet, okay? And you're walking along, and you spot a camera laying on the ground.
Okay.
Now, being a scientist, would you A, say, oh my God, this camera evolved on this planet and is sitting right here. This intricate machine with lenses and mechanical pieces. Or would you say, oh my God, somebody intelligent dropped us here?
Well, I would obviously say it evolved. I mean, come on. No, I would say that it was dropped there.
Okay, why would you say that?
Because a camera, from my experience...
Uh-huh.
From his empirical knowledge.
From my experience, is something that people create, okay? People create.
So if it was a device you didn't know what it was, you would say...
If it was a mechanical device of some sort?
Yeah.
I would probably look at it and say, something designed it and put it there, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So I would assume that you would say that most of the creatures on this planet are complex mechanical devices.
No, I wouldn't say that.
You would say they are what?
I would say they're complex devices, but I wouldn't say they're mechanical.
You don't think that the mechanics of the heart beating is...
When I think of mechanics, I think of things as cogs, whirring,
DNA unraveling and unraveling.
I would say, do you see my point here? No, I would say we're a complex organic device.
Okay.
And I would say, contrary, with my experience, in the same way that cameras don't seem to put themselves together, okay?
Well.
In other words, in my experience, when I've seen cameras...
It could evolve.
In my experience, when I've seen cameras don't self-evolve.
Okay.
Whereas when I see human beings, human beings learn, grow, adapt, are different, have variations.
The eyeball would disagree with you.
I would say your eyeball is very close to being a camera.
The eyeball would disagree with you.
Interesting.
Go a little further with
but
that.
Also
the eyeball is a camera.
You've got a lens.
That we have actually proof of showing the progress of its evolution.
But the eyeball
is also an evolved thing. We can look at eyeballs of other organisms and say that this eyeball, our eyeball has moved.
Evolution didn't happen.
No, I'm agreeing with
I'm
you.
Just saying that maybe there is an intelligent design behind evolution.
I completely agree with. I find I was trying to steer clear of evoking any sort of personal, thing here. But it's my belief that to believe you understand God's creation is really an arrogance that a lot of people have. To say we understand God's creation and to teach creationism, this is the way God did things, is arrogant. It assumes a lot. And I don't think that any of us have the comprehension, if there is, a higher being that has designed us or designed the world, to even begin to scratch the surface of what that plan might be or how he went about doing it. So,
even if it's a he. But the thing that I have the most problem with is saying that our religion defines what this intelligent design could be. They're not presenting it as an option. They're presenting it as the option.
Right.
I have no problem when you say it could be, Buddhism, it could be Taoism, as long as you're saying it could also be the flying spaghetti monster and you're willing to actually take that
into... As long as you also are critical with the people who say that evolution is the only, explanation. There's been all sorts of other, leap theories and all sorts of other crazy stuff, including alien depository.
There's a reason why it's a missing link.
Well, let me interject one last thing here before we move on.
And then I'll interject one more thing.
Go. I'm not interjecting anymore.
Okay. I'm done, too.
Well, I just wanted to say that... I actually do believe. I personally actually do believe in
intelligent design.
A higher
not
power.
Intelligent design, but I do believe. I do believe in higher power, and I do see patterns in the world. But I see that as a belief. Mm-hmm. For me.
So you don't believe it could be true. You just believe believe that.
No. I believe it could be true. Mm-hmm. Okay, but when you start talking about things that could be true.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what you don't teach what could be true.
Right.
You teach what
but
is
you could,
probably.
You can study what could be true.
Right.
Well,
but Aaron.
You could study, but you do not teach what could be true because that's such a broad field.
I think you can totally
Aaron,
teach.
Wait. Let me finish. You teach what is probably true. Okay. A lot of things could be true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You guys could be a hallucination in my mind. Okay.
Descartes.
I'm not going to go and teach that. Okay.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to go and teach that as we could all be.
You're a quantum physicist. You might.
A tremendous amount of the things we teach in school are not true. The molecular theory, the model of atoms,
right.
Models of molecules, the orbiting of the solar system.
Every
what do you mean
every
the orbiting
action?
Of the solar system?
We're not concentric circles as we're taught. Things come in, things go out. And, the solar system does not work
Newtonian
exactly the
physics.
Way it's taught in high school.
We learn reaction. Things stay in motion until they're changed. All that's wrong.
But don't no, you think it's that... only wrong within certain foci. If you're moving at the speed
it just
of
works,
light.
It just kind of works out at macro scale.
Okay, well,
but...
don't you think that you have to put a certain value on information? And you have to teach what seems to be the most useful, important information to people first.
Right.
Okay. So what seems to be most scientifically defensible... is the thing you got to teach first before you start getting down to, the spaghetti monster.
The problem is if you're
ding ding.
Well, no. Hold on, one last thing. It's just really interesting. We should get into this conversation now because I just started up a very brief dialogue with someone I've met on our forums.
And he's neat, he's a really neat guy.
Who is a creationist.
And we're sorry that everybody's flaming you, but you're. On a geek
I was
website.
Going to bring him up, actually, on our mailbag. Yeah.
Oh, no, well, let's bring him up later on. But, I just want to say that, I've started corresponding with this guy a little bit. Unfortunately, both of us have been really busy. I haven't had the chance, but I'm paraphrasing what he says. And so forgive me if I get it wrong.
Duos?
Yes, that's the guy. He is very studious. He went to seminary. He studied this. I believe he's a clergy of some sort of his religion. And he believes in the Bible literally, the literal creation of everything.
So 5,000 years and all that.
Yeah, we got into a conversation about Noah's Ark, that he sent me a thing about the crap joke that you made.
I demand the crap joke, I thought it was funny.
It was interesting feedback. I mean, for me, and I loved the fact that he's willing to talk about this with me, because he knows I'm not a creationist at all.
Yeah, that's
Anyway, he sent me a couple links to some websites that
alternative crap debunk,
theories. no. That debunk evolution, and a couple suggested reading material for that.
Yeah,
so perhaps we should
brush. No, there's a lot of that. I mean, there's
Let's do an episode.
Aaron, if
it's
you're
a good idea.
To close, if you're saying that you're teaching in classrooms, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea of a revealed God, mm-hmm. as God as evidence, right? Mm-hmm. Then what is the point of faith?
Well, and I state again, our public school system is not
it's
the
science
place.
Class, not a faith class.
I don't.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I don't feel teaching anything faith oriented in public schools is appropriate.
Right. If you are teaching, intelligent science.
If I'm sending my Jewish child to your school, they should not be learning anything that I would not teach in my household.
Moving on. Sorry.
Well, I'm dropping one of my news stories.
Gigantic Matt Top. I'll drop one.
Let's just whip through our news stories
real quick,
shall
we? That was a brutal
Thank
one.
You, Matt.
Sorry about
one
that.
One news article down.
Yeah, you don't get your three. All right.
All right. I'll whip through my two real quick.
Are we 30 minutes in? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah, we're 30 minutes in.
Geeks on. We have a hard time talking.
This is the 2.5 hours.
You wanted longer.
All right. Well, let's see. We're going to throw up a link to a video game Olympics face-off in New York, where these people are looking to qualify to represent the United States in the worldwide video game Olympics.
Kick ass.
So we have a list of winners up there, and prizes in the U.S. finals range from $2,000 to $5,000 for first place.
We got the Frogger chick.
It's not.
She's the U.S., man.
Q-Bert.
Oh, Q-Bert. Oh, sorry, Q-Bert.
She would stoop to play Frogger.
I'm sorry.
She's 80, Q-Bert. Man. She can't defend herself. What are you thinking?
Q-Bert.
So just a couple of the games that they're doing right now are, Half-Life, Counter-Strike, Dead or Alive Ultimate, and Halo 2 are some of the big ones there. With prizes ranging from $2,000 to $5,000 for first place, and a total of $34,000 available to U.S. winners. And in 2004, the prize pool for the World Finals was over $420,000.
I want to see the people who come out of other countries, the video game equivalent of the Jamaican bobsled team.
Well, it's an interesting news article. If you read this, they're basically saying, there are sports where we're not really going to bother representing ourselves because we know South Korea will kick our butts.
Yeah, right.
North Korea,
Like what?
Totally kick.
Every video game?
I don't think I have it highlighted here, but they were saying FIFA Soccer 2005.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple of those things that are just...
And those dating video games.
Nice, Aaron.
Oh.
Nice, Aaron.
It's true. They love that crap over there.
Okay. The other news article I brought in is about Danny Elfman speaking out about Spider-Man 3 and why he has no intention of working on it or ever working with Sam Raimi ever again.
I'm not a Danny Elfman fan, so it's fine by me.
I am a Danny Elfman
fan. I love Danny Elfman, but I also love Sam Raimi.
But I think Danny Elfman is best used for very, very stylized movies.
Why is he ticked off at Sam Raimi?
Apparently, Sam Raimi just was incredibly possessive of the Spider-Man 2 movie and made life on it a living hell for him.
Well, he did a good job because that's a great movie. So if he was possessive about it, whatever he did worked.
Oh, he'll love working for James Cameron.
Yeah, right.
Or Ridley Scott. I hear those guys are.
Yeah.
What's funny
is my favorite filmmakers. But
did you hear about the Ridley Scott interview about George Lucas?
No.
It's really neat. I mean, he was sort of. He was sort of criticizing George for the recent movies and stuff like that, saying it's really interesting that George created the used future, the idea of the used future, and he stole from it completely for Aliens. And then George came back and was like, wow, I love Aliens. Great movie. Oh, fantastic. Love them. But then, turned around and didn't use any of the used future for the first three movies. Oh, well.
What do you mean he stole it from Aliens? Alien came out and was...
No, he said he stole it for Aliens.
He stole it from Star Wars.
I know, but Alien already existed and was already that dark, dank, used thing.
That's not what he said. He said he took the idea from Star Wars.
He doesn't know what he's talking about in his own movie. All right, I'm just going to do one real quick one. Marvel is to finance up to 10 films. They're talking about taking out a huge loan, $525 million.
$525 million?
Yeah. They don't take it out all at once, but that's how they do that.
50 mil of film.
Yeah, that's pretty
low. They're gonna do a film. Mm-hmm. They take the money from that and so it's actually gonna be more per film.
What's right. Ghost Rider? Is Ghost Rider Marvel or DC?
Well,
Marvel.
let me list the characters. 10 characters are an arrangement. Captain America.
Oh, ooh, boy.
It could be so good, but they've botched it so bad before.
The Avengers.
Could be great.
Oh, please, please be good.
Nick Fury.
I don't
Sergeant
know.
Sergeant Fury?
Hold on, let's go back to the Avengers. I want to picture Scarlet Witch a little longer. Okay, move on.
Black Panther.
No, bad choice.
Ant-Man.
Even worse choice.
Because they need a comedy, I guess.
Cloak and Dagger.
Crap, they took my idea.
Actually, Matt
well, they
had
came
the same
up with
idea.
The idea.
I know, but I wanted that movie so bad.
Well, why don't you, just because
you
they're making
write your
it,
ass
gives
off.
You a,
yeah, I got
that seems like probably 10 years down the line.
Oh, yeah. I want that movie.
Write your
Doctor
ass
Strange.
I want that movie.
I want that. Yeah,
they, did you know they made a Doctor Strange movie already? Ooh. It was bad.
Hawkeye. Isn't that the Green Arrow rip?
Yeah. They're picking some crappy ass characters for this lineup.
Power Pack. What's that?
Oh, no!
What?
No!
What's Power Pack?
Are you
I don't
serious?
Know.
They're four, like, preteen kids who are given superpowers by extraterrestrials.
Are they preteen or?
Preteen. One's, I think the oldest one's like 14, maybe.
Oh, yeah. As long as two of them are the Olsen twins, we're fine.
How about Shang-Chi?
I don't even know what that is.
Who?
Shang-Chi.
Say that like four times fast.
Shang-Chi. I don't know.
No idea.
I have no idea.
Anyway,
I didn't
each
think...
film is expected to have a budget of up to $165 million and a rating no more restrictive than a PG-13. That's the news from Marvel.
I would not have made that investment.
That's a bad lineup.
They don't take out the full loan. They're going to keep going and seeing.
After Ghost Rider, we'll see how
much. That entire bunch, like almost all of them have already been made disastrously.
Yeah.
Almost all of them. But, I mean, I'm not going to hold that against them. The property's still there and great.
Are they just picking their top 10, hey, these sell really well, maybe?
No, they're not. Ant-Man? No.
Yeah, true.
No.
I'm sorry. Quan Chi?
Yeah, no, Chen Chi.
I would do the Avengers.
S-H-A-N-G. Shang-Chi.
Okay, Captain America I can see. The Avengers
I can see. Doctor Strange. That if it's done right, could be great.
Cloak and Dagger.
Cloak and Dagger for sure, because I think that one would do well.
Love Cloak and Dagger.
The Avengers are great.
I actually think that there's a chance with Black Panther, but it would be very hard to pull it off right.
I would actually like to see the Invaders, like a 1940s style superhero
maybe. Who
team
knows?
Fighting the Nazis.
Ah, well.
Okay.
Peter.
Who else, Peter?
I read about a study. That if they get an audio recording of somebody typing on an ordinary computer keyboard for 15 minutes or so, they can figure out everything that the person typed. They've got a new computer program that will listen to the sounds that the keys make, and eventually it will decode it. And it is the recovered text, it gets about 95% of the characters right and 90% of the words right.
Ooh.
It can even get passwords that people type in right.
Write this down, spy novelists. This is another cool gadget.
That's kind of cool.
That's pretty
like
awesome.
That at all.
That is awesome.
I'm not
comfortable with this.
Yeah.
We're going to have mufflers on our keyboards.
Yeah, close your doors.
Well,
best part was, like, we're past the age of cyber sex, I guess, but...
We are?
That could be really funny.
Ooh.
Ah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right there. Like that.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
So the algorithm doesn't always recover the exact password, but it can come up with a short list of possible passwords, and the real password is almost always on the list.
Wow. Not good.
Damn, I've tried Open Says Moo over and over. It just won't work. This program sucks.
How did you know that was my password? Okay. The other one is that apparently the California... what?
The legislation?
Yeah, the legislation that they've passed, AB 1179, would make it illegal for any retailer to sell a violent video game to a person under the age of 18.
Oh, interesting.
If passed, it would fine retailers up to $1,000 per violation. And if they were to sell a game deemed safe for adults only to someone under the age of 18.
Very
now,
interesting.
Now, I'm fine with all that part.
I am, too.
Except for the part that comes later.
Which is that it's not going to be the entertainment software rating board that does this, but it's going to be the government itself that decides what's good and what's bad.
And not only that,
but
their definition of violence is any game that shows any type of bodily harm or, what do they call it, I can't even remember what their definition, if you've got it there, but any type of bodily harm to another person is considered. That means every single game where you...
It's every game.
Well, realistic. Yeah. It did say realistic.
Right.
You
so,
know.
So
it did say in realistic situations.
So every fighting game?
No. It said in realistic situations.
That's fighting games.
Well,
fighting games are going to catch.
So so now they're determining what realistic situation is?
Well, I'm not sure because a lot of fighting games aren't realistic. You know, power is the way it fights. It's not realistic.
I guarantee that Mortal Kombat would fit into their category.
Oh, heck yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, they screamed
at
it before. Okay. So why would that be?
But you can rip the spine out of people.
That's the question. Because is that realistic? Is that not realistic?
That was my favorite fatality.
I suspect that what they're mainly aiming towards with this is things like the Grand Theft Auto, where you walk up behind someone.
Well, that's the most recent.
Yeah, that's just the one that's caused the problems. But what about
like 6 years back? Mortal Kombat would have been on there.
It means every single World War II game is now. And not only that, but did you see what the size of the rating has to be on the box? It's a 2-inch by 2-inch sticker that has to say on there, this can only be sold to 18 or older, adults only. 2-inch by 2-inch sticker. That covers almost the entire freaking box.
I'm kind of curious if we're going to end up with Germany has a very specific system of banning video games.
Oh, really?
Right. That's one of the things.
They shoot people who sell the games
Australia.
To other people?
No, there's a specific list of things you cannot show in a video game or words you cannot say.
Oh, that's weird. That's right?
But the things on that list, it's not generalized things like rape, right? And, I'm going to say something somewhat graphic right now, so feel free to turn your ears away. One of the things on that list, I'm paraphrasing, is you cannot show the face of an underage girl while she is being sodomized by a knife. Okay.
What?
That is
That's
one
a long,
of the things.
Must be a long list.
That is one of the things on the list. Okay. I'm not making this up.
This must be a list that they're constantly updating as it goes along.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think I've had the same list in my desk for about a year and a half now. So it's
So they update it yearly.
Yeah, I mean, I have a list of symbols you can't show.
He just peruses it during the lunch hour.
You cannot show.
I know you have that for your work.
I send
of your
games
job,
to Germany.
But
I
that
have
sounded
to my games
really funny.
You cannot show a small Japanese boy being beaten to death by his own testicles.
Yeah. I think that's on there.
Really odd.
I would love to make a video game that has all sorts of stuff except what's on there that obviously would probably put it on, just filled with things that are just as bad but is not on that list.
Yeah.
Because trust me, I could come up with some
I'm pretty sure what they do is they find new specific instances of things they specifically didn't like and add it to that list.
Yikes.
And they're always highly, highly specific.
It's very, very weird.
Alrighty.
All right, final one. There's a new site called FPSCreator.com. And it is firstpersonshootercreator.com. You can go there. You can create your own first-person shooter games based on their engine. What it does is allow you to personalize your own first-person shooter, allows you to design the environment, allows you to design the AI, ticking up and down the AI levels, figure out what you want things to look like.
Cutscenes?
Cutscenes, everything.
Tell about the cutscenes.
I think it's cutscenes and everything. I don't know. But
scripted.
Yeah, definitely scripted. And what they basically say is the multi-featured FPS creator has been 3 years in development, offers an easy yet flexible editing environment where you can achieve high-quality gaming results in no time at all. This means that those who wish to get their hands dirty can open up the script files into any text editor and recode. If you want to, but you, it's perfectly possible to create a large and complex game without doing a single line of code at all.
Any online capabilities?
Online capabilities, straight up.
Whoa!
So,
whoa!
You can do.
It's not terribly hard to do these things. I mean, the instant any FPS comes out, there's always a mod.
Yeah.
When and you those got guys are serious.
Yeah, when you got things placed where you want them, you can drop in weapons, enemies, objectives, zones, customize the loading screens, create your own AI scripts, draw some waypoint paths, set up super gorgeous lighting effects, and then single click of the mouse, you can turn it all into an EXE file and you can pass it on to friends. And what you can do is you can create as many of these games as you want. You can sell them if you want, and you don't owe the company nothing.
Wow. I have a Macintosh. I can't play.
Yet.
Yet.
Like they're going to make it from Mac. All right. Are we done?
Yes. Let's move on to our first topic.
Go play with your widgets.
What are we going to do? What's our first topic? We do the vampire
first topic
thing?
Is vampire films.
Vampire films!
The best, the worst, the whatever you call those middle of the
road.
The
best, the worst, and everything
and,
in between.
And why, I think why we keep having more and more and more.
Yes. All I got to say is constant. You've never tasted life until you felt it come over your bottom lip in a red hot gush.
No, I can top that.
Okay, go ahead.
Take me away from all this death.
I can top that. Your dinner's in the oven.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, I'm totally blanking
I
on that
one. I can't top any of those. How about I came here to kick ass and chew bubblegum.
No,
that's not,
not a vampire movie.
Well, it's all right, Don, why don't you start us out? What's one of your favorite or what is your favorite movie?
It depends what genre of vampire movie you're talking about. I mean,
whoa!
No, think about
whoa,
it.
You're
vampire
break it
movies.
Down and shit.
There's the serious vampire movie and there's the comedy vampire movie.
Yeah, it's true.
And
they
there's
go
the action
all over the place.
And the action vampire movie.
And the action, which is kind of in between usually.
Yes.
Usually,
you know?
Yes.
For straight up comedy, I got to say my two tops for just funny vampire stuff. Bordello of Blood from Tales of the Crypt.
Really? Okay.
It's a fun, campy little piece of crap.
Yeah, you know? Okay. So I'll agree with part of that.
The other one I have to throw in there is the Grace Jones flick from the 1980s, Vamp.
Yeah, Vamp.
Which
love the box, the poster for that.
Two things which have been blissfully edited from my memory.
If you have not seen Vamp, you must correct this. All right, now everyone knows Grace Jones. Grace Jones is a handsome woman. Well. But be kind.
In a mannish way.
What's the line from Conan? What do you do? Wait.
How do you get a man, Grace Jones? Why, I grab him, I take him, and I make him mine. Her voice is lower than mine. That sucks. But despite that, there is a scene. Basically, the plot of Vamp is a bunch of college kids want to get into a frat, so they promise they're going to bring them strippers, right? Mm-hmm. So they go out to a strip club in the local city that turns out to be completely populated by vampire strippers, right?
Yes.
And the head vampire stripper is Grace Jones.
Kick ass.
Right?
Oh,
suddenly it's not a great stripper.
No, okay, now you can say that, and I won't necessarily disagree.
She's got great
disagree.
Legs. She's got...
Grace Jones strips in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now all the other strippers they show are kind of like, you know, gorgeous contemporary stripper types.
Right.
In the
Grace
80s.
Jones gets up on stage and she's doing like this body painted African ensemble, not African at all, just tribal, primitive, angry strip show that you can't take your eyes off of. You can't stop watching her. It's just interesting, you know.
It's not sexy, but it's interesting.
It's not sexy. I won't say that it's sexy, but you can't stop watching, you know?
Well, yeah.
Car wreck strip clubs.
Yeah.
Not sexy, but you can't keep your eyes off.
So wait, is Vamp, is it comedic?
It is comedic.
So it is comedic. So these are both your comedic picks.
These are both my comedic picks.
Right.
As far as quality vampire action goes... I know I'll catch a lot of flack from a lot of geeks out there, but I have to come back to the old standard mainstream one of Interview with a Vampire.
Hmm.
I think that was...
You've never tasted life until it's come over your bottom up.
I got to say, you know, it was a pretty good movie, even with some its acting.
Yeah. Laws.
I know people disagree with me. I think Tom Cruise laid a big egg in that one, but the director saved him big time. The director made
him
look good.
Antonio Banderas was great.
I agree. He was miscast, but he did a great job.
Yeah.
You know,
it's such a forgettable movie for me. I can't even tell you what happened.
I have a hard time reading Anne Rice novels anyway, and then
I
agree.
I don't like her writing.
Well, Interview was good, but the rest of them are not so good.
Well, for me, I read them all sort of at once, and it was very much like too much dark chocolate. I suddenly started coughing and wanting to spit up. It was just like, you know, come on.
Well, let me tell you, my all-time favorite vampire movie is Fright Night.
Fright Night.
I love
that. Is that the one?
I agree. It's a good, fun flick. But have you seen Fright Night 2?
Is Fright Night... No, it's horrible.
That's horrible. One of the best campy vampire movies I've ever seen.
Is Fright Night 2 the one where the guy keeps on walking around saying the name of the insect and then he eats it?
Yeah.
I love that.
And then he blows up.
And they have a vampire on roller skates in that one.
Yeah, I love
that. That's bad. The first one, though, is great. Sarandon does the...
Sarandon?
Susan Sarandon.
No.
Chris Sarandon.
You're thinking of The Hunger.
No, that's Susan Sarandon. Sarandon, her husband, was the vampire in Fright Night.
That's her husband?
Yeah.
At some point was her husband?
It was, yeah.
I had no idea.
Yes. Now, we can talk about The Hunger and the scene that makes that movie.
Well, okay, I mean, The Hunger can't be ignored when you talk about vampire movies. I mean, it was the first of the modern one.
When you've got Susan Sarandon and Deneuve.
Catherine Deneuve.
Yeah.
Oh.
Having a sex scene together, lesbian sex scene. That puts it right up at almost the top of the list.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is don't rent it, buy it.
Yeah, that's a fire. Yes, that's
otherwise you're
going to
get late fees.
And, you know, what was the other one? Lost Boys is always kind of...
Lost Boys is fantastic.
How did I skip Lost Boys?
It's got this thing...
Because it's Joel Schumacher and now you're pissed off.
Yeah.
But as an 80s vampire movie, that was like a great freaking vampire.
Too many damn vampires.
Let's keep moving on which ones we like and don't like, for now.
I want to mention one that's a weird vampire film, but I just love it. Life Force.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Life Force?
Life Force.
It's the
spaceship with the vampires in it.
Okay.
And the vampires are like this weird energy that comes down and sucks the life out of people.
Oh, okay.
And it's got who's Jean-Luc Picard with his
Patrick Stewart
in it.
Really? I've never seen that.
Yeah, it's such an interesting film.
I watched Life Force with you.
No.
Oh no, I watched Altered States with you. Never mind.
Yes, Altered States.
I'm thinking of the wrong thing.
I want to mention a couple other ones.
You might be stealing.
Well, hold on. Let's just go through the ones that we highly like for one reason or another first and then discuss. Yeah.
Okay. I want to mention...
These are your favorites still?
Yeah, just some things I like. Did you guys ever see Once Bitten?
Ah, you stole mine, damn it!
Aaron Gray in the dance scene.
Yeah, I didn't really like that, but...
I love Once Bitten.
Exactly.
It was a great comedy.
When he goes to the
Jim
butcher...
Jim Carrey in one of his first roles.
It's one of the few movies I've really genuinely liked Jim Carrey in.
Oh, I like him in The Mask, too.
I like him.
All right,
Matt. Okay, Once Bitten was totally... one of mine. The other one is the original, way back when, Nosferatu.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Then the most recent Willem Dafoe Nosferatu that they just did.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I thought that was brilliant.
I thought the performances were brilliant.
And I thought Dafoe was out and Malkovich. Their chemistry was incredible.
Shadow of the Vampire.
Yeah.
Right.
It was great acting, but I just didn't like the film.
To throw out a couple more out there,
let's just throw out the ones that will be our canon.
What's the one that's on the... I can see the picture of the video box in front of me. It's sort of a woman's white face with her little teeth, and there's blood drilling away. And it's
Lair of the White Worm?
No.
Innocent Blood. No.
It's like Innocent Blood.
You're thinking Innocent Blood.
Yeah, her eyes color whenever she...
Which is a great comedy. It's about a vampire who only feeds on people who deserve it. She decides she's going to eat the mafia and accidentally turns the Godfather into a vampire, and he starts turning all of his cronies into vampires, too.
Now, there's one that... when I mention this topic to friends, because everyone now asks me what the new topics are going to be.
Oh, that's
They Everyone mentions, and I haven't seen it, the one that they made right after Aliens and has like half the Aliens cast in it.
After Dark.
People freaking love that movie. I got to go see
Near Dark. Morgan loved that one. I never really clicked with that one.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember liking it. I need to see it again.
Other ones that need to be thrown out there. John Carpenter's Vampires.
Of course.
Dracula.
Thought both of these were awful.
Come on.
Actually.
Dracula? You know,
the original Dracula?
The one that they did with...
Take me away from all this.
Keanu?
Death.
Keanu Reeves. That one blows. No.
Though there's, I liked the design of it.
I liked the design.
I thought it was a beautiful movie to watch.
I liked the scene with the three succubi in the bed, and that was it.
Oh, that was great.
That was a great scene.
Oh, no. Tell me you didn't like the Lucy scene.
I was so busy watching Keanu Reeves' hair change from it's black, it's white, it's gray, it's white, it's black, it's gray, it's white. Black, gray,
I love
white,
the
blonde.
Lucy scene.
Black.
But the design was lame. I mean, the costumes are kind of cool, but the whole, like, monster vampire, like the half bat thing, just seemed like a regular rubber suit. Like, there's no thought behind
that. I agree with that.
The only thing about that movie that's good is Gary Oldman.
Peter, go on. Sorry.
Martin. Do you guys remember Martin?
Martin?
No.
This is a strange, strange vampire film. And it's about this guy who becomes, if I'm remembering the right film, it's about this guy who becomes convinced that he's a vampire. Like, he slowly becomes convinced.
Wait,
he's going,
not the one with
Martin, the black guy?
No.
No.
Martin! Shenane comes out.
Damn! I gotta suck some blood. Shit!
No. The one, what's his face? The guy who's gonna play Superman, but...
this is an old film.
Raising Arizona. Why can't
Nicolas Cage?
Nicolas Cage, where he thinks he's a vampire.
Oh, yeah, I know which one
you mean. Is it Nicolas Cage in it?
Yeah, he thinks he's a vampire, and he keeps getting more and more nuts.
It might be, but it's the same film I'm thinking about, where he literally buys fake teeth, puts them in his mouth, and then sucks the blood out of someone and kills her, you know, with these fake teeth. But he's just a crazy guy.
Huh.
You know, and he's hiding from the sun by turning a couch over and hiding underneath the couch. It's a very strange film.
Martin.
I actually didn't like it. I think it's called Martin. I'm not positive, but I didn't like it very much, but it's such an interesting film that it deserves to be mentioned.
Hmm. Okay. Also want to throw out there, like I said, I already said John Carpenter's Vampires, which I want to forget. John Carpenter's Vampires 2, which I mentioned last week, which I loved.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen it.
I highly recommend it. It's really fun, and it gets way better than you'd expect it to be, but it's still kind of campy.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, come on.
That's bad. That's
you just
of,
now yelling
I'm just,
out.
I'm just mentioning it.
Now, come on.
We're establishing our canon here.
I got dragged to this movie.
Wait, let me just throw out two last quick ones real quick.
Okay.
Salem's Lot, the original Salem's Lot. Yeah. Salem's Lot, the miniseries, which just came out.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Now, have you seen both those recently?
Yes.
Now, are they good? Because I haven't seen them in a long time.
I thought the movie was
I thought the movie was very good at the time I watched it.
Yeah.
It scared the crap out of me originally, and there's a couple really amazing scenes in it.
Okay.
The miniseries had its weak points, but I thought it was consistently better than the movie.
Mm. Okay.
Lest us not forget, of course, the original Bela Lugosi Dracula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let us not forget
and Christopher
the
Lee
original
Dracula.
Abbott and Costello meet Dracula.
Right.
Abbott!
What movie were you going to say you wanted to go see?
Well, I got dragged to this movie. My wife's company had produced it, but I got dragged to Blade. The original Blade. I love the original Blade. I thought it was a great movie.
But it's an action. It's one of the action vampire movies.
And you know
movies.
What? Underworld, which I have on my on video. Underworld
you've just killed Don. Blood is seeping from his pores.
Underworld has some severe problems. I am not.
It's an awful movie, but yet I enjoyed it too.
But you know what? As a video rental, or I bought it for like $4, it's kind of cool, and it's got great wire work. I hate wire work movies. But they actually have weight to them. Like, when they jump off of buildings, they actually hit the ground.
Yeah,
and
that's the only thing the vampires do in that movie.
Jump
Apparently, you are granted immortal life and the ability to fall from great heights.
Well, guess what? There's a second movie coming out.
I know, and God help us, everyone.
And you know, what's your face is hot in it.
I thought that the plot of basically saying the werewolves were here to serve vampires forever, you know, and we screwed it up. That was great. The thing I had a problem with was that, you know, hey, we all live in our goth little hole and we dress goth. And
well, all vampire movies are like
that.
No,
no,
I mean,
no. The big problem I had with both of them, with both Underworld and Blade, was that one of the things about the vampire mythos, that whole thing, is they live forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they gain an experience and cleverness and craft.
Right.
And the older they are, the more dangerous they are. And in both of those movies, you see the young, hip, cute, sexy generation overthrow the old ones without thinking about it.
You mean in Blade as well?
Yeah. Well, in Blade, apparently no one ever thought to ask the ancient council if they'd mind being overthrown. Because apparently that's how they did it.
Yeah. You know? No, you're right. There's some weak points in it. But, you know, it's no Godfather.
It's nothing on Blade 2. that pile of ass suck.
Yeah, that was bad.
Oh, the one with the pile driver.
No. He suplexes him off the top of a stairway. That was bad.
I hated that movie.
God, that was really bad. Ron Perlman.
And I never did see the third movie. The second movie was so bad. The second movie had CGI fights in it where it was literally just two CGI. And I was like, this is like watching the entry screen to Virtua Fighter 3.
Okay, so we acknowledge these are the different vampire movies we've seen.
Right.
There's dark horror, going from the Dracula to Interview of the Vampire, all of that genre. There's the action, right? And then there's the comedy.
Right.
Yes.
Can you think of another monster, first off, that lends itself to all three of those genres that easily?
Werewolves.
What werewolf comedy has there been?
American Werewolf.
Oh,
American
Wolf
in London.
Teen Wolf. Teen Wolf 2.
Good point. I never found American Werewolf in London wasn't a comedy, was it?
Are you kidding? It's hilarious. Crazy comedy.
I thought the beginning was hilarious, but
no, the whole thing.
The whole thing is funny. It's got also got some incredible
And zombie
Rick
movies
Baker
have done the same,
effect.
Actually.
Watch it again.
What's that?
Zombie movies have done the same, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got the comedy side of it, too. A little less action
That's true.
For zombie movies and werewolf movies.
Remember, back in the 50s, there were all sorts of comedy. Teen whore, my mom is a werewolf,
my dad's a werewolf.
No,
I stand corrected.
You got to admit, Don, eating people is funny.
Well, that's what we were talking about this. Why do they keep making vampire movies? What's the deal?
Well, you get the horror.
You get the
and
horror.
And you get the sexuality.
You get the it's the sex.
Of all of them, it's
the
sex.
It's total sex. Because zombie movies, we were saying, and this is actually a point that Aaron made, zombie movies are swarm movies.
Right.
That's a very good point. Yeah,
the great thing about a zombie movie, and the reason why people keep making them, in my opinion, is the gore factor. You can kill most monsters once at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But a zombie movie, it's the same monster over and over and over again. It's really the same creature. You get to kill it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
You get to rip heads off. You get to rip the guts out. And you get to do it from the very first frame of the movie to the very end of the movie. And that's what's great about zombie movies.
See, but that's more of a new thing with zombie movies. The original ones, like Night of the Living Dead, you know, the one that broke all the barriers and made that a genre.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
Hmm. Well, and that one, it was the swarm aspect that was scary. With that.
It was the horror.
I was just reading a short story on a guy talking about horror, and he had a really interesting point, is that we've gone to a place where horror means macabre, means things blowing up and eyes coming out and everything like that. And he said what he missed about horror
Matt,
films...
Matt, your ride's here.
Sorry, guys.
They're coming to take him away.
He said what he missed about horror films was the dread. Was that moment before something jumped out at you? You know, the moment of, and I thought that's what was sort of, I don't
original.
Know. I don't think that's what's missing. I think there are some great movies that are out that are like that.
The Others was the entire movie was like that.
Yeah, it was dread. Was really, really great. But I think that's what hallmarks a really great horror movie in terms of scariness for me.
Yeah, for me too.
You know,
I've been hearing actually, I mean, a lot of the Japanese movies are starting to do a lot of dread. You know,
yeah,
right.
Very little happens. It's all atmosphere. Well, not all of them.
No. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just wondering whether or not anybody saw the Japanese version of The Ring 2.
No, I haven't. No, not the second one. I haven't even seen the first, the Japanese.
I hear there's
Ringu.
Five of them. Yeah, they're five. I think it's five. Three,
more,
five.
Maybe more.
So what is it about vampire flicks that make them unique in that genre?
Well, I was saying that the original vampire films were about dread, and now I don't know.
Well, I'm also wondering if it's because it's one of the few ones where your hero, right, the non-vampire, is usually faced with a choice. You know, do you become one? Do you join the dark? So it becomes the whole falling to the dark side thing again.
Interesting.
There's immortality. You're right about that. Because immortality is very, I mean, like, listen, you know, if you could live forever, you know, people are afraid of dying.
And have sex the way vampires do?
Yeah, you know, it's like...
Well, that's a thing also, is that...
Nothing but penetration, baby.
That kind of scared the hell out of me right there.
Yeah. Aaron just blushed and, like...
The thing about vampire movies that also I think is obviously appealing is that, like kind of the gangster movies in a way now, is that people want to be a vampire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool to be a vampire. Everyone wears, you know, everyone's goth and wears cool clothes, and they're always cooler than the other guy, and then they... What?
No. Oh. And then they, you know, sneak around at night and they're having great sex and, you know, all the women are hot and all the guys, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like everyone wants to be a freaking vampire. No one wants to be a zombie or, but I think that's part of the,
I always wanted to be a werewolf more than a vampire. I mean,
that, isn't that the whole premise of Interview with a Vampire?
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
exactly.
You know,
see, but the don't problem with, be like me.
But the problem
dog.
With the Anne Rice version of the vampire is it's like blood and sex and blood and homosexuality and blood and sex and blood and blood. And it's like, after a while, it's just like, okay, I've been through my carnal pleasures. Thank you very much. Can I read a book?
Yeah, but that's what everyone wants. They want to, they're using this genre to get off, you know, to kill a little bit, to have three ways, to have, I mean, that's kind of what that you're living through these people where you go, well, I can't go and do that type of stuff. I can't go and essentially have drugs. I mean, every time someone bites somebody, it's a drug experience.
Right.
You know, it's never like, I'm hungry, let's, you know, sip down a Coke. It's always like a semi-drug sexual experience.
It's sort of the horrid fascination with that sex, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not sex. It's violence.
It's
and
dirty
sex.
Yeah.
Wrapped up. So, you know, you watch it with this horror, but you don't want to stop watching it. You know, it's the same way that...
It's silence.
I have noticed this. I mean, Anne Rice... Keep in mind, Anne Rice started off writing romance novels.
Right.
Yeah. Well, romance is not what I would call
loosely termed.
It.
Yeah. Well, A.N. Roculare or whatever.
Right. You know. So, but I have noticed if you read a lot of vampire books, that a lot of them start off, you know, with the sexuality, but it's relatively tame. But as they go along, if you start to read a series, the series tend to get really bizarre, and you finally kind of just get turned off because it just gets
too
weird.
Steps beyond that line.
Yeah, well, because they just keep going. It's like, you know, it stops being, you know, okay, so it's not like, you know... The vampire and the girl. Now it's the vampire, the girl, and the werewolf, and they're having like a three-way. It's like, come on.
That's
one
of the things I found very interesting about. There was a series of books based on the vampire role-playing game.
Okay,
which one? The Mask of the Red Death.
There was more of them. There was a lot of.
I loved that series. That was brilliant.
Okay, I read that, but what I always found very interesting about those books based off of the role-playing game, sexuality was extremely underplayed. It was hardly ever talked about. Like, feeding was discussed, but there was something always kind of clinical, and I'm not sure if it's the writers they chose.
Mm-hmm. Well, they enjoyed feeding more than they enjoyed sex.
Yeah, but their feeding wasn't... What I'm saying, when they discussed feeding, it was never the sexual feeding that the game kind of proposed.
And all movies and most books.
Exactly.
Right.
It was always kind of, you know, the hunt is great.
Mm-hmm.
They emphasized
like
the hunt.
The hunt.
They emphasized the violence. They emphasized the outsmarting, you know, outfoxing, outthinking, outpoliticking. And that's part of the game, but I found it very interesting that they shied away from that, from this kind of mainstream novel series, mainstream among geeks. Anyway.
I suppose. Yeah. I've never been a vampire fan.
I love vampire movies.
I prefer the movies to the books.
I'm really looking forward to for people to invent new stuff, though, now. Like, you know, the space vampires, I think people just touched on them and have been not very clever with it. I mean, I'm watching Buck Rogers now. They're replaying him on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, are they?
The 80s.
Oh, I love
that. And there was
that.
Always there was that episode of the vampire who would come up, that space vampire would come up and like use his fingernails and jam it in your, you know, somehow suck your soul. And I always thought that was really freaky. And they didn't really call it a vampire, but it was essentially a vampire. But, you know, I'm hoping that the people become a little more clever with the vampire genre. And blend it into more other genres, really.
Yeah,
so. Interesting.
When I was doing research on this, just kind of refreshed myself on vampire films, there's three things that I read about that I have not seen, but I'm curious about.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them is called Ultraviolet, Ultraviolet. And it sounds interesting because it's a very slow-moving vampire conspiracy miniseries. And what sounded interesting about it was it sounds like you don't find out about the vampires until very late in the game.
Hmm.
So it sounded really interesting.
That sounds interesting.
So if anyone's seen it, I'm curious what they thought about it. The second one was called Blood and Donuts.
I've seen that.
Have you seen it? Is it?
It's fun.
Okay.
I wouldn't recommend it,
but it's
fun.
It's a Canadian vampire film, which just is funny in and of itself. And it's supposed to be awful.
There goes the email. Jeez.
It's supposed to be awful.
Oh, yeah, you're on Diddy. Oh.
But kind of in that it's awful. awfully good type of way. You know, it's like really cheesy. And, but
well, we haven't touched upon the big vampire genre, which is the B movie, C movie genre, which we should. That's a whole other conversation we're going to have later on. Which
well, and also vampire anime. There's a lot out there. Vampire Hunter D.
Vampire Hunter D.
The
yes.
series Blood, which if none of you have seen. It's a half hour long, it's one episode, and it's really interesting.
Well, I'm going to suck your blood, don't you know?
Well, let's talk about those. Those scenes are whole other genres and a whole other topic. We need to talk about those type of things,
let's
I think, later.
Let's move on to our next topic.
We should definitely move on to our next topic since we're over again! An hour and 10 minutes already.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've witnessed Aaron's aneurysm. That's right, Aaron's aneurysm, only available
Aaron's,
here on
Aaron is not going to be satisfied until you guys get a 45-minute show.
No. I like hour and 15. They're great shows. This topic isn't a long topic, but we all wanted to talk about it just briefly. But we wanted to discuss what life would be like in 50 years with technology, gadgets.
Yeah. We should all still be around in about 50 years.
Yeah.
God willing.
Intelligent design, flying spaghetti monster willing.
There goes the emails again.
I just failed my sand check again.
I have been touched by his noodle.
Aww.
All right, so the future.
And on the third day, God said, let there be marinara.
All right, so let's talk about the future of...
The future. Well, I see flying cars.
I want my flying cars. We were supposed to have our flying cars by now.
All right, let's talk about transportation.
I did a story about flying cars a couple weeks ago, so... Right.
Let's talk about the transportation, because I think that is going to change big time in 50 years.
I can't help thinking, by modern standards, we're going to be taking a step back. Cars will be less performance-oriented... You know, less power, probably not as far-ranging as they are now.
Yeah, I agree. And not, there's not going to be flying cars, period. Not
and also severe depletion of natural resources we're talking about within 50 years.
I don't even think that's going to happen in 50 years, but I guarantee you that the amount of people jammed onto the streets is going to make people change the way they get around in most cities. Mm-hmm. And whether people in Los Angeles like it or not, because these people refuse to take public transportation... If this city doesn't change something very quickly, it's going to get hardcore.
What was so sad was that Los Angeles had the best public transportation system in the United States for years until GM, U.S. Steel, and U.S. Oil, and Goodyear Tire bought it and tore it out. And
what was that?
They had a trolley system that
you
went
see the tracks everywhere.
All over Los Angeles and really, really was a wonderful connector everywhere in Los Angeles. It was Los Angeles was called the City of Charm. It was all these different things. And then they tore it out and sold us cars with... sorry, that was a very cool Zen moment, Aaron. They sold us cars built out of U.S. steel using U.S. oil on Goodyear tires.
Yeah, I mean, well, okay, that's...
The past. Let's back to the future.
I mean, that's how these things work, and that's the reason why we're stuck now is because these manufacturers...
I don't see, like, for example, Los Angeles. I don't see Los Angeles going back to a decent public transit system.
Oh, they're going to have to.
They've tried. They keep getting fought on every front.
Yeah, but, there's going to be a difference between... People having to fight in the in the legislature trying to get something done, and just people not being able to get anywhere. I mean, in 50 years, it's seriously there is not going to be a movement in this city.
10 years, less than that. Yeah. I mean, that's why Boston's doing the big dig.
I have a 15-mile commute to work, and that consistently takes me an hour if school's in session. And it's the students. The students kill me.
Hit them.
God bless the students, but my God, you people are asses on the road.
Hey, you've played SimCity. We all know what happens at the end. You gotta put in the public transportation or your city crumbles.
This is true.
Yep. Yeah. If you take a student and you strap him to the front of your car with a horrified expression on his face, usually they get out of your way.
All right, let's move on to communication or medicine.
Well, let me throw out a couple things that I see that we're going to have. I think fairly quickly we're going to start to see... The lights start to change, and they're going to be LCDs. Mm-hmm. You know, you may even start to see, like wallpaper that's
luminescent.
Well, there's this guy who's invented a thing called buckyballs and bucky strings, which is basically can transmit information and electricity much faster coaxial cable and what's in there, and basically can also transmit light so that you can use Bucky balls and Bucky strings and mold them out to be these ginormous screens and stuff like that. So we could actually have a sort of Ridley Scott future if we could, you know, figure out how to manage them in the right way.
I think we're going to come up with a cure for aging, and maybe not in the next 50 years, but close.
That'll be kept under wraps.
I don't know about that.
I seriously think we will, especially because what you have to think about.
Remember,
is,
there's a lot of money being made for people aging.
Right, but there would be just as much money being made to keep people from aging. In other words, let me put it this way. Okay, there's a lot of money made on people aging, but if you had a cure for aging, every single person would use it.
Right, so that one company
would make a ton of money. It would be
think they would make more money doing that, or more money curing one person 10 times in their life?
Okay. When I say a cure for aging, it's probably going to be a process. And it's probably going to be a process that you get over.
It's probably
going
to be a process only available to the super rich.
Yep.
Well, like everything, it'll start off being available to just a few people at the beginning.
I don't think it'll ever make that transition, because then there's going to be a certain club, right? It's going to be the long life club.
Yeah,
whatever.
George Bush can stay young and the rest of us.
Yeah,
you know,
the chaff is not wanted by the rich. You know, they don't want us to stick around.
Yeah, but the chaff isn't going to really let something like that exist and not have the opportunity to get it themselves.
I'll let you stick around.
I'd like a Rolls Royce, but I'm not going to be able to get a hold of one in my lifetime.
Yeah, but there's a difference, okay?
That's just attitude, John.
A Rolls Royce is, you know, it's nice, okay? But longevity, the ability to live forever, that's not nice. That's
something that you could still sell for an extremely high amount of money and make more money by charging a larger amount and selling to a smaller clientele.
Well, we do have a tremendous amount of money spent on prolonging people's lifetimes and making people look younger. So,
and that could still be there.
You know, even
that's
if
what
they
I'm
come,
saying. Those industries come, could right. coexist as long as one industry only caters to the extremely rich.
Right. Now, here's the thing. You could like stop aging and still have all the diseases and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
so
absolutely.
Maybe, you know.
Well, that's the other word. Maybe I mean, if you actually say stop aging, and so you eliminate old age, right? And you know, people no longer die of old age.
Exactly.
They die of cancer.
Overcrowding will probably, I imagine violence might actually start offing more of us as we get more and more crammed in.
It was like people Star Trek go insane. Episode. Remember that old Star Trek show where they were trying to get disease back onto the planet?
To go back to our vampire stuff we were talking about.
I'm going
to
start
people
eating
people seem
old.
To get pretty bored around 150, you know?
Right.
You're Chinese. You don't
age. People will choose.
Matthew uses the ancient secret from the East, pearl cream.
Ancient Chinese secret.
Ancient Chinese.
I want to talk about communications because right now this cell phone thing is bullshit. Total bullshit.
What
cell phones
mean?
Right now, they don't work. They're too big. You have to take them out of your pocket.
Hey,
you got to dial. You have to keep all your friends and different phone numbers.
I hate my cell phone. It's too damn small.
That's going to be all gone. You're not going to have phone numbers anymore. You're going to just have to. You just dial your friend. You press your friend button. They know it's this whole like things in your pocket and all that. That's gone. I guarantee.
You think we're going to have communicators on our chest? We're going to be like,
it's going to be
earrings.
It's more simple than that. It's going to be more simple than that.
Earrings.
I don't know what it is, but I guarantee that whole bullshit is done.
It'll
with.
It'll be an ear clip and a ring and a lip ring.
You'll be ringing people's DNA. Everyone, when you pop out, you'll just say, that's your number, your DNA number. You will never, ever lose it ever again.
That little earpiece that you've got that connects to your phone through
Bluetooth?
That will be like.
Oh, that's going to be a phone.
That will be a big, fat, giant, old school cell phone at some point.
Yeah,
yeah.
Your I think there's going to be things that are absolutely just going to surprise us.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Things that are just going to come absolutely out of left.
And there's
field.
Some things that have been predicted that I don't think would ever catch on. The whole video phone conferencing in your home.
They have it now. I saw.
I know. I don't think it will ever catch on at home, because people don't want to be seen while they're at home.
Some people do.
I would say that's an extreme minority.
Well, but I think if you're talking to people that are family members from a great distance, that you
I think
do.
That will become more common, actually.
Right.
But I think it will be an option.
I don't think that it will
I mean,
become.
I'm sure you can just slap a picture up there, but I can already picture talking to my mom over the video phone, like always seeing like her eye in the lower left corner of the screen trying to tell her, okay, stand
but
up taller.
But it's going to follow. You won't have a camera like that. It's going to always. You'll always.
My parents can't work a VCR.
Yeah.
Well, your parents won't be the ones using it. It'll be the next generation.
Yeah.
Well,
you'll be the
one who can't figure it out.
Right.
You
yeah.
know?
Okay. Yeah, that's what interests me is what's the level of technology that's going to piss me off about, you know, it was like when the first video games came along that were the Dance Dance Revolution games.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, I'm no longer the cool kid who can play Street Fighter and beat everybody at it. Now I have to watch these kids and go, wow, I couldn't possibly do that.
Speaking of video games, I like to move on to video games. The controller, as we know it, is some bullshit. We are not going to see that controller or anything even remotely close to a controller in the future.
It'll be a headset. You know,
it's going to be something
virtual reality headset.
But this whole like moving your thumbs or walk and all that is people are going to look back and laugh their ass.
Well, we've seen the gloves. We've seen the game gloves at E3, right? Where it's a joystick that you just wear as a glove and it's supposed to let you play your games.
I think it will just see you. You won't have to wear anything. It will just know what you want.
Yeah, but I think you're going to have. I think you're going to have a situation where basically when you play games in the future, you're going to put goggles on that put you in a completely immersive 3D environment that is extremely realistic.
I agree.
And then you're going to have some sort of system that's going to allow you to choose which direction you're moving, you know.
Right.
And then if you're using a gun, you're literally going to have a gun, a rifle. You're going to be like, you know.
I agree. Like, I think it's going to be completely different. And looking through your little television set is old school. I mean, after PlayStation 3 and Xbox 2, which will be another 5 or 6 years, what are they going to do next? I mean, okay, let's say they move to some 3D goggles or 3D games on your television set. Okay, then what happens in the next 10 years? The graphics card's going to get better? They're going to do high def again? I mean, come on. They're going to have to do something. That's only 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm. I just had a vision of something that's really trippy. Okay. Imagine that you're wearing these goggles and you've got the gloves on, right? And you're walking around, you know, and you want to change guns. And basically what you do is you reach down, you pick up the gun, you know, and it's just sort of that weird, you know, you have to kind of work it in VR, but it's not a real gun. Mm-hmm. You're holding your hands as if you're holding a gun.
Mm-hmm. And they can have force feedback on the gloves so you could feel it.
So you could feel it. I mean, that would be insane. It'd be great.
The side effect of this, of course, will be that the wealthiest nations in the world will end up having the most devastating armies ever. Because our children will have been trained to use a rifle and to move in combat situations since birth.
Not the case, because people are going to stop becoming soldiers. They're going to be robots.
Well, should we move on to...
they already are developing...
There will be robot attackers, but there will always be human beings defending.
I'm sure there will be both. Because what they're designing now is they're in the process of designing right now robots that people drive. Mm-hmm. Like they drive from a distance. But they, you know, you just send the robot.
Oh yeah, the RAR. The RAR.
I agree completely.
But remember, a war only
is,
works if you're changing the minds of another country or taking over another country. And the only way to do that is if you start killing people.
The people,
of course.
The people defending will always be people. Yeah. There may be robots helping them, but there will always be someone needed to defend.
Yeah.
And I bet you that there are going to be situations where you start sending in the robots, they're going to start sending in EMP weapons.
Yeah.
You know, an electronic device is never going to be as fully dependable as a human being.
But you can shield electronic devices.
And then there's going to be a way through the shield.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is there's always going to be the next step.
Are you saying there's going to be a robot Cold War escalation?
Absolutely.
Could be.
Without question.
Right. One of the interesting things right now is there are Air Force articles talking about this is the first generation of kids who are flying planes right now who were raised on flight sims.
And we have the best damn pilots of any generation.
They're unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely unbelievable right now. So, I mean, they're saying their response times, their way they're handling.
And we will see that as soon as these video games go into the level that you're talking about, we will see that go into every other branch of the military.
I think so as well.
I want to talk about the four paradigm shifts that I think are going to happen in terms of technology. Okay, I think we're in the middle of one, or we're at the tail end of one, which is the information paradigm shift, where information becomes
a commodity.
No, instantly copyable. Where in other words, before if you had a book and you wanted a book, you know, you had to print a book. Okay. I mean, originally you had to handwrite it out. Then you came up with the copying press, which made it easier to do that. Now we're at a point where if you want a book, I can download it and I've got it almost instantaneously. Mm-hmm. And we're getting to the point where it's almost, you know, where basically information is instantly copyable, creatable.
I did a talk at the ArcLight. I was on a panel at the ArcLight last week, and I brought this topic up, which is Hollywood is going to be completely different in 15 to 20 years, even 10 years. It is not going to be any, when Hollywood, when what happened to the music, what's going on with the music industry right now hits Hollywood, we're going to see some crazy stuff. All this big money going to big.
It's going to hit television first.
It's going to hit television first.
You already see it happening with television as they try and figure out a way. Okay, people own TiVo now. They're not watching our commercials. Well, we're losing our advertisers.
Wait until you can download an entire movie, watch it on your plasma screen instantaneously, and not pay for it.
Yep.
It's going to happen. And that's going to change Hollywood, and I think it's going to change it for the best.
I got to tell you, I think that there's something that's going to happen that's going to be sort of a strike back by the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend the other day that hopped on to try and download a song for free,
mm-hmm.
and was instantly hit by viruses, and his entire computer was wiped out, just shut down.
Mm.
And so I suspect that that's going
Let me, though, the 10 brains geniuses that are out there developing this stuff for the movie industry and the television industry are competing with millions of geniuses, and they're screwed. They have no chance. These guys are going to get their asses whooped.
I tend to agree with that. If they go too offensive too, like we've already seen AOL and Microsoft shut down repeatedly by one or two hackers who decided they wanted to put them out.
Yeah, but
if I find out
that Microsoft put a virus on my computer, mm-hmm. I'm going to be owning Microsoft in about a month and a half later when I talk to my lawyer.
Right. Well,
I'm going to own that company.
I don't think they're going to be doing it in a way that it can be tracked back to them. I think they're already doing
it. I'm sure that will happen.
But the paradigm shifts back to
information.
So information's the first one. Okay, the second one is going to be energy. Coming up with some way where you can have energy for basically nothing.
Well, right now it's the fight. What's really interesting is my cousin's in the military, mm-hmm. and he's saying not all of us in the military, in fact, many of us disagree with the policies that are going on right now, but he's like, in 20 years, you're going to be frickin' glad that we have our hand on Iraq. And that was...
Peter is right. I think, and if this is what I think you're saying, that we are going to be... and we're just starting it now, but I think that the world is going to realize that the oil that is over there costs too much.
Well, yeah, but it's...
My paranoid self is telling me that's the last of the oil. Because they're not going to warn you. We're running out of oil in a couple of months.
But it still costs too much. It costs too much in money. It costs too much in lives. It costs too much in all sorts of stuff. And I think the world is going to learn here. It may take 50 years.
Yeah.
But it is going to change.
Okay, but at some point,
Mr. Fusion,
if we don't destroy ourselves, at some point we will come up with a energy source that is virtually limitless, and energy will no longer be a restriction on us.
The only problem is, that'd be great. But the only problem is, unless it is biological, unless it's a waste product,
mm-hmm.
if it's something that we're creating, fusion, cold fusion, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Then that energy source, as any energy source, mm-hmm. can then be used as a weapon, which then becomes ultra spooky.
Well, I'll tell you, of course, but I'll tell you what I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be transmitting. They're going to come up with a way to transmit energy without wires, because they're close to that already. They've got that already, and I think they're going to be transmitting it from the moon down to the Earth.
Actually, one thing that I would actually predict would be having a space elevator constructed in the next 50 years.
I could see that.
With that, we'll bring... Really? We'll, absolutely.
I don't see it.
I don't see how we can afford not to do it at this point.
What do you need to do up there with an elevator?
Okay, one, with a space elevator, mm-hmm. you can construct... Do you understand what a space mm-hmm. elevator is? For those of us out there who are not familiar with a space elevator, the concept of a space elevator is to have a satellite in geosynchronous orbit above the Earth, staying directly above the same spot on Earth at the same time always, and running a cable from the Earth to that satellite so that you have a continuous string that you can conceivably just lift things up into outer space.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why this is important is because with a space elevator like that, you can put things into orbit with literally no expenditure of energy. You can do is gather resources from the moon, for example, bring it to the top of the elevator, and use the weight of what you're bringing into the atmosphere to lift things out.
So it's like a counterbalance?
That's how it works. So,
so we're just going to start piling moon rock on the Earth?
Well, not necessarily moon rock, but there's a huge number of resources out there we could use.
Or
outside whatever. Of the atmosphere, the solar rays are much stronger. You could conceivably set up panels to collect sunlight. I'm not saying this is viable at this point.
Right.
But with a space elevator, you have a means to transmit that energy safely down to Earth.
But your point being that you're going to create a way that you can get up to the moon... without any type of on a regular basis, easily, much more cheaply.
It's already agreed among most scientific circles that a space elevator is a brilliant, wonderful, perfect idea.
It's a great idea.
But we don't have the material that could make that polymer yet to create the cable.
Truth to tell, unless space goes privatized, and I hope space becomes privatized in the next few years. I don't see it happening.
Me neither.
Because I don't see any government of the world, unless we're in competition with China, saying, all right, we're going to spend the money, and we're going to take it out of defense, we're going to take it out of these other things to colonize space.
Okay. It doesn't need colonization. We need mining. You know?
Yeah, but,
those resources.
But we need all sorts of stuff, but it sounds crazy. Like if we said, okay, you know what? Next year we need to vote that we put in a certain amount of money every year so that in 50 years we can develop that. People would laugh.
Yeah.
Just like when they say, you know what, we need to get out of Iraq and we need to get out of that whole area because we need to develop.
But it's exactly like, what's a good example? Pharmaceutical research, right?
Right.
To make the pill that will cure your disease often costs about 60 cents, 25 to 60 cents, right? But to develop that pill, to discover that pill,
right,
can take hundreds of billions of dollars, conceivably.
Right.
And
right?
A privatized company.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with the space elevator.
That's what
After
I'm
your
saying.
Initial
unless
investment,
it's, well, unless it's privatized,
the returns are would be stunning.
Right.
There are
but I
already,
don't see it happening unless it's privatized.
There are already signs of privatization. There are people who are making those efforts. So,
We already have space tourism.
And also keep in mind that things get cheaper. Not always, but most of the time, things get cheaper. Because
the thing is that we're running out of resources, and it's not just that oil is used for power in this case; it's that oil is used for everything.
Yes, well,
every polymer that we have around the house.
But we're not running out of resources; we're running out of oil. That doesn't mean we don't have other resources that we can use.
If we
it
run
just
out
means
of
that
oil, every
up to
pesticide
this-
that we have goes. You know, I mean, that's all of our pesticides are polymer based. Our farming, our agricultural base goes.
Okay, but we're going to have to shift over to something else.
It doesn't mean we can't develop it. Trust me, we'll develop something that's different.
Keep in mind, we're already developing hybrids of plants that don't need pesticide because they're resistant to.
Oh,
and all he's saying is that there's a chain reaction to whenever
we
run out of
I fully agree with what you're saying, but I'm also saying
that
there's another side of that, which is that we are evolving as well.
On that note, I would say that what we're going to see is a big difference in how we utilize resources.
Right.
You know, we're not going to be having the Sunday drives anymore in the future. That's not going to happen.
But
maybe the Sunday bike
ride.
We
might be able to create our own oil in the future.
You know,
because we've got a lot of garbage.
I would disagree with you. The Sunday drives, we might absolutely have them if we're running on, say, something that's some sort of fuel that's coming from corn.
That's what I said. We might still have the Sunday bike ride. You know, but until we have an alternate resource that is cheaper and more plentiful. Like, for example, you're saying, you know, we might have this ultimate, eternal, safe energy source.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe there is such a thing as an eternal, safe energy source. I think those things are mutually exclusive. What we have is the sun, right? Which is functionally eternal, very safe, but the amount of energy we know how to get from it right now is
really minimal.
Really minimal.
But keep in mind.
That's the trade-off.
I understand. Keep in mind, what we're talking about is the future, okay?
Right.
Not now. And so in the future, things will be different. I mean, much different.
I don't necessarily see that there are certain limitations.
50 years is only 8 administrations. Wait, no, 4. No, sorry, that's 8. Sorry.
10.
Math hard. Very
10 to 12.
Difficult.
12
10,
administrations?
10 to 12. 12, 12
up to
administrations. 12? Yeah, and I see with the current resistance that we're having, I don't see a lot of these things happening unless privatization takes it over.
I'm not going to say that this is going to happen in 50 years. I'm definitely not going to say that. I'm just saying that there are – I see 4 different paradigm shifts that will happen if we survive long enough. And I'm not saying they're going to happen.
We're still on energy right now with the energy.
Yeah, yeah, big time.
And I'm not sure that energy will happen in 50 years. But inside 100, I think it will.
Even our eco-friendly choices right now, though, are not very viable. Like wind, we've discovered, you know, the big wind farms out there?
Yeah.
We've discovered it's damaging the environment. It's changing wind patterns. You know, I mean, how can you not have, you know, how many square miles are the largest wind farms right now?
Yeah, they're huge.
They're insane. They're enormous. And they're changing the weather patterns.
Of course, they're slowing down.
We can't even begin to imagine what that's going to do.
Right. They ain't no butterfly wings.
The corn alternative is something that's constantly being debated right now, in the fact that it takes more energy to make the darn stuff and to ship it where it needs to be than it produces in the end.
Yep.
You know? And I think there are, you know, the technology may advance, but there's still limitations on each of these energy sources' potential.
I think the biggest thing in terms of energy source approval is not going to be the discovery of necessarily a new energy source as much as it is utilizing what we currently have in the recycling.
I'd love to know what the third paradigm is, though.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Third paradigm, I think, is going to be matter. Once you have an inexhaustible energy source, then the next paradigm, and I think this is way the hell out there, but the next thing you can do is when you know, matter is made of energy. So that's when you start to have things like in
Star Trek. Well, that's not way out there. We have nuclear reactions right now.
Yeah.
Reactors. We can do it.
Well, we can do it, but I don't think that, you know, just because something exists doesn't mean that everybody gets to use it. So for a paradigm shift, you know, there were computers, there were all sorts of, there was sort of pre-internet, you know,
right
things, but until it hit everybody, it didn't have a paradigm shift in the way the world worked. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm really thinking.
I mean, this
how
is almost industrial. This is like what's so interesting is when we see the industrial changes to things, when people start building cars and doing things that are very visible, building planes, and we've moved from that to a non-visible, to a, you know, it's the information technology, it's the, you know, ability to bring us closer. Mm-hmm. What interests me and what I think interests a lot of sci-fi geeks is when you can see the Starship Enterprise being built, when you start to see, you know, sort of things being built that are actually, you know,
let's order coffee and you hit a button,
exactly,
you know, and it just appears.
Yeah.
You know. So I
cappuccino, espresso, black.
Yeah, exactly. Now the fourth one I think is going to be happening in it. I think that those are going to happen in order. You know, we have information, energy, then matter. The fourth one I think is going to be happening in, you know, sort of
simultaneously.
And that has to do with biology. I think that we're going to learn to control our bodies in a way that is completely, the best analogy would be right now plastic surgery is a way that we can change our bodies to make it whatever we want it to be.
Right.
Okay. I think that we're going to be able to do that, but without having to use knives, basically.
Yeah, gene therapies,
you know, and I think that it's going to be very interesting.
It's the final abandonment of evolution.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Or the final embracing of evolution.
Of natural evolution.
At our design.
Of natural evolution.
Natural evolution. Because I think we will still evolve, but it'll be, you know.
Well, no. I would actually say the abandonment of evolution entirely, because at that point you're choosing what traits you show, which means evolution will be completely haphazard and random.
But
no, but evolution. Evolving doesn't. You're confusing evolution with selective breeding. Natural selection.
No, that's true.
Natural selection, yeah. I mean, because we will still
evolve.
Better
evolution
through chemicals. We will be different, perhaps better, smarter, faster, whatever, you know.
Stronger. $6 million.
I'm not sure if what I'm thinking belongs in one of your paradigms, but I can't help thinking with all of this going on, there needs to be maybe a fifth paradigm change of socio-political religio, you know, situations.
Oh, that's
where
going to be huge.
As communication becomes more universal and energy becomes free, allowing greater communication, greater flow and exchange between communities, ideas, culture, religion continue to collide now. Imagine how it will be in the next 50 years.
I think we're in such big trouble.
I think, honestly, I have nothing to base this on. It's just a gut feeling. I can't help thinking we're at that point right now where we're likely to birth a new world religion in the near future.
The flying spaghetti monstrous.
Pastafarians unite! All right, let's wrap this up because we are like way.
His noodle believes in you.
Do you have any last final comments about this before we wrap this up?
Okay, I guess the big question is, 100 years in the future, do you belong to the dark future paradigm or do you belong to the bright future paradigm?
I think I'm a dark
future. Are you a
future.
Star Trek or a Blade Runner?
I think I'm a dark future to get to the bright future.
You're a Blade Runner?
Yeah.
I think we're both.
I think we're going to go through a little bit of a dark time, but I do think that the human race is going to survive. You know, this we're in the dark years right now where a culture has the ability to destroy itself. I think that there – I think Asimov talks about this all the time. If we visit a planet, it's going to be either – if we're going to visit a planet, it's either going to be before that happens or after that happens because that little dark time, it, you know, these people could obliterate themselves. And I think we're going through that right now. We just need to survive to get to the point where we understand how to use what we've got. We're too smart for ourselves. We've got quantum mechanics. We've got nuclear this. We got all this stuff where we can hurt ourselves. We're running with scissors.
I think I'm going to disagree with you on one level in that...
Are you sure you want to disagree with them?
Throughout our entire history, all mankind has ever tried to do is survive. I think we need to hit a point where we're no longer thinking on that level. Well, and until we reach that point, there is no potential for more.
Can I throw out something which is... not everyone's trying to survive. I mean, it's clear. Not everyone is trying. There are people who choose to die. I mean, people are blowing themselves up all the time. So survival is not
a point that can be argued because they're fighting for the survival of their culture, for their families, for their religion.
Well, maybe.
They're fighting for survival. That is why they're willing to lay down their lives.
I think that they're fighting for control is what I think they're fighting for.
Well, the bad guys who are blowing themselves up are not the ones
I would disagree. It's the survival of their species, and power is part of it.
I was reading. You know? There's a guy who just.
I hope this doesn't last too long. We are way off topic, and we're at an hour and 40 minutes. We need to wrap this up.
There's a guy who just directed a movie about a suicide bomber, and he's from Palestine. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I was reading something that he wrote, and he said, look, you know, everyone's under the misconception that these people are blowing themselves up for religious reasons. And he said, that's the guise that everything's portrayed in. Mm-hmm. He said, and the reality is people are blowing themselves up because they feel out of control. And it's the only way they can feel in control of their lives.
Because they're losing their family members. They're like, which is survival.
Well, it's survival and control are different things.
Yeah. There's a difference.
And I differentiate between the two. I think a lot of people are blowing themselves up, not because...
terrorism is a political goal.
I would say that control is a tool towards survival. People often want power in order to protect what's theirs or to achieve more so that they have a better chance at survival. That's the way we're set up.
So you think – but how can you say that when every time someone kills themselves, it's for survival?
Because not saying for terrorism.
I'm saying it is for the survival of something they believe in. Usually their family, their people, their neighborhood, their people.
Can you believe that there would be someone that would willingly choose to do something with the concept that it might destroy the whole world and kill everyone?
If that's an incomplete scenario.
Okay.
I need to know what their motives are.
Can you believe that there is someone out there who would choose to create a virus that he thought would destroy all
humanity? Dr. No.
Okay. I'll answer you with this response.
Yes.
In the late 80s, it was a popular theory among a lot of homosexuals that the AIDS virus was created by the American government to wipe out gays, specifically to get them out of the way. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it has happened in the past that people believed that.
Yes, but can you believe that someone would not just try and destroy, you know, someone you don't like, but kill everyone. Me, everyone.
See, to kill everyone, I think you're talking about somebody who literally is.
We are so off topic, and
yeah, it's an incomplete scenario because you're not presenting a motive.
Well, my only point being that not everything is for.
This is Geeks On, Aaron. There is no topic.
I completely disagree.
There is no topic. There is
hardwired for survival.
I'm not even getting what you guys are talking about anymore.
And yet, people commit suicide.
Yes. That is viewed as one of the most dysfunctional things that most people can do unless they're in pain and they're seeking an escape.
Yeah.
And yet, but
they don't call themselves suicide bombers.
And my point was that a lot of people who are doing suicide bombers, I think, are doing it because they're in pain, because they're out of control of their lives, not because it's for survival.
But they don't call themselves suicide bombers. They call themselves martyrs to a cause.
Yes. the examples you're using are martyrs to a cause.
It's, and it's, I'm saying, okay, never mind.
All right, let's stop this. All right, come on. Let's end this Geeks On podcast with I have a couple of – I don't know if you guys want to bring up any. I did print out the guy who called us hypocrites because it says, okay, so you guys blast the people who hate D&D, Harry Potter, etc., even though they've never read it. I agree completely. And the conservative Christians, although not a fundamentalist, I've dealt with much of that my whole life. Then you blast the creation sciences in the same way that other people blast D&D at all. He goes on and on, said that, you know, this is the guy you've been going back and forth with. Hey, if you guys out there, if you think we're off mark, this is a great. This started a crazy thread on our forum.
It was a fascinating thread.
It was fascinating. Some people went, you know, got a little mean. Some people were pretty good about it.
I would have liked to have seen a few more of the pro Christian sides show up on that stream.
Yeah, me too. But good geeks out there had a great conversation. Feel free to we're not going to apologize for anything we say. The only thing I would apologize is that I think they thought we were attacking all Christian, that we're kind of Christian haters.
No, Don was.
Yeah, me. Well,
Don is. We're not going to apologize for anything we say. So blast us back, you know, get on there, write us an email, tell them we're full of shit. We're completely fine with that. We have no... we're no commercials, no sponsors, so we're going to do what we want to do on our podcast, but... Yeah. I think it's great. He put us in our place.
I have to comment. Ever since we did this last podcast, we were talking about people who are opposing geeks, and we talked a lot about Christians. I got a lot of extremely positive, friendly emails from a ton of not just Christians, but like red state Christians. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
The ones that I love to bash on. So it's been really interesting communicating with some of
them.
I think
they turned the cheek all over you.
They did. Cheeks everywhere.
Well, I think they were good to realize what we were talking about were extreme fundamentalists, people who, like, I mean, they're Christians and play D&D, and they all thought it was wrong. So obviously, I think they knew that we were talking about extremists.
I have never met so many red state geeks in my life.
Well there you go.
I'm amazed. I didn't know they're out there.
This guy...
Hang on. Can I give you one?
Oh, yeah. You
didn't know. Right, I have one. He said basically this discussion is why he loves our podcast. And he said, I so identify with all of you and your swanky podcast. Group hug. Don't fret about the length of the show, Aaron. I listen at work,
okay,
and
so
your show
a guy.
That just eats up a chunk of my day. Everybody says it. There's like one guy who was like, yeah,
there's
an
hour's 15
good.
People on our day. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. Anyway.
We want to believe we're loved.
He said, is it wrong that I get excited when I see the show is an hour and a half? How about if I'm standing in my underwear holding a jar of mayonnaise at the same time? Don't answer that. There you go.
This is by The Monarch. I'm catching up. Wonderful show. I'm listening to podcasts, but never found them. But I found them a great pleasure to listen to while I'm running a solo on World of Warcraft. Oh, the grinding time just flies.
On Darkspear, baby.
Darkspear. Great show. All I can say is more, more, more. P.S. Who the hell was Samuel L. motherfucking Jackson on episode 3? That was awesome.
His name is Don Norwood.
Yeah. And, we have to put up... Somehow we lost the cast list, so we need to put that back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was his name?
His name is Don Norwood, D-O-H-N-N-O-R-W-O-O-D. You can look him up on the IMDb. He's a great actor. He's a good friend of mine, Matt. He's just a really good guy. By the way, Don, as to your bodies story about the Chinese bodies that you talked about, the ones that
we put in the
art exhibit.
Oh, yeah.
As for bodies being snatched in China and used in art, I have a kind of sideways... My anatomy and physiology professors told us that all the bones we use in class are real human bones.
Yes.
And they don't get them by waiting for people to donate their bodies to science. Basically, a large majority of the bones we used in such classes were acquired by the companies that provide them from bodies left unclaimed in China, where there are lots of them.
That's crazy.
The skeleton I had in high school in our chemistry class was from an Indian woman they picked up off the side of the road.
Crazy.
Apparently. Right. Oh, and Aaron, so the monkey missing link boy is named Chaka.
Chaka!
Someone
all right, I have one more. This is by Asa, our friend Asa.
Hello, Asa.
Asa gave us a link to a fan film, a Firefly fan film. Did you check this out?
I have not checked it out yet.
Called Mosquito. It's no. pretty funny. It's a 9-minute fan film and a parody, so it's actually, they kind of rag on it just a little bit.
Nice.
They give it props in certain areas. They redo the theme song. It sounds just like it,
oh,
but
no.
they do their own lyrics. Anyway, go check it out. We'll put a link on our website. It's a mockumentary of the show. It's not an actual episode. They do it as if it's like a DVD extra.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty freaking funny.
Nice.
And the first fan film that I've seen for Firefly.
Love that stuff. Send us links to more cool fan films. I love
yes.
that stuff.
Everyone, send us links. Email us, geeks@geekson.com.
Got one last one.
Oh, you do?
Yep. Just wanted to bring up something I've been thinking about and might be a partial topic for the show. Is design expertise a form of geekiness? I'm a fledgling graphic designer, web designer, and my boyfriend, this is a girl... is a graphic designer,
you know?
Screen printer. Well, she wrote it.
Pretty presumptuous.
Yeah, it could be a guy.
No.
She put in parentheticals, this is a girl.
This is a girl. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
We're complete Adobe Macromedia design freaks. We met somebody at a bar last week who was telling him about a vector trace of a lighter he did, then printed and turned into a painting, and the guy, my guy actually said, "Vectors? You got to meet my girlfriend.
She's a total vector."
Yeah, there you go. So she wanted to know whether or not we would do a show on sort of geeks and geeks' proficiencies in terms of our technical and design stuff.
Vector heads.
Yeah.
Vector heads.
Anyway, keep it up. Keep making geeks like me proud. Megan.
Well, Megan, I did some green screen tests this week, so that's pretty geeky. I was going to shoot maybe a sci-fi film.
Yeah,
so.
Megan, send us a picture of yourself.
No. Oh. All right.
To green screen.
If you want.
Yeah, so we can green screen it.
If you want to contact us, you can write us at geeks@geekson.com, and you can individually email us now. If you go to our contact page on our website, geekson.com, we each have our own mail. If you want to abuse one of us personally,
that's Don.
You can.
I love it.
Also, go to our forums, which is a link off of our webpage, where there is a crazy discussion going on. About everything.
Yeah.
And, constantly.
And as our biggest fan, King Tanik, noted, there are more than 15 people on there now. And he's very sad because it used to be 15 over the summer, and now it's just getting crazy, man.
Right. So we're hoping... What's great about the forums is you can ask a question, and even if we have no clue, I'm not a big anime fan, but people are answering people's questions, giving suggestions on good sci-fi books, good sci-fi television
shows.
I'm
going to be checking out some of these suggestions
on
there.
Go check it out. Hope you all have a good geek week.
We're going to put on some new good t-shirts and stuff like that, hopefully, in the next few weeks.
I'll get on that.
All right.
All right.
Excellent.
Goodbye, everybody.
Have a great
geek week.
Goodbye,
my geeklings.
Rock it out.